8:16, Galesburg's Morning News. Tom Meredith, Tyler Gumnick, Isher, thanks for being with us here this morning. Another free testing, by the way, coming up this Sunday, Knox County Fairgrounds from the Knox County Health Department, 8 to 4, is that right? 8 to 4 this Sunday, is that right? Oh.
That's correct. We're starting a little earlier to end a little earlier.
Okay, there we
go.
It's
dark out there.
And doesn't matter your symptoms, whatever, just you get your opportunity to get tested again, 8 to 4. It's free at the Knox County Fairgrounds coming up this Sunday. Well, joining us to talk more this morning, we're going to talk the COVID-19 vaccine. First off, the Executive Director of the Knox County Health Department, Michelle Gabriel. Michelle, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm doing well.
You know, as things go right now, right?
Yeah.
Also, Knox County Emergency Management Director, Randy Hovind. Randy, good morning. How are you today?
Fantastic. And how about yourself?
Oh, great. I mean, I know we're kind of talking off there in some ways, especially for you guys. I mean, for us, you know, our job has, this is just what we do. We've been pretty much doing it the same. And you guys are, but also in some ways, it's kind of been Groundhog Day for you as well, because it's like a lot of the same stuff over and over. Although sometimes rules and regulations change, it's like the same thing. It's like, okay, what's going to change today kind of thing, right?
Yeah, it's been going on for a while, and I had never thought of Groundhog Day, but that's a good way to explain it.
That was Randy.
It comes over, but the sad thing is when it comes over, that another layer usually adds on. Nothing goes away, but all of a sudden now we have testing, vaccine. So
right, which I know a lot of people were waiting for it. But all right, so we've already had one round of a lot of people locally that have been able to be vaccinated. I know you physically, Michelle, had to actually go pick up. So was this what you were picking up? Was it just a portion, again, of the first round, or was this a second round for some of those who had already been vaccinated, or where were we at with that part?
We've actually had 3 weeks of vaccine ordering. We order weekly. That first round was the Pfizer, which is the ultra-cold vaccine, so it had to be brought into the area a special way because we didn't obviously have the capacity to accommodate a full dose of 975 doses. So it was done through our strategic national stockpile distribution channel. So what I picked up the other day was the second dose for those healthcare workers. That vaccine went to OSF and Cottage to do healthcare workers. So we have people in the community who are fully vaccinated now.
That's good. And I know, because, I mean, so what's kind of the order? Obviously, those frontline workers, healthcare, and I'm guessing first responders are coming up soon, if not already in some cases.
First responders are included in phase 1A, primarily firemen and EMS. So people who, you know, respond to emergencies like that. The remainder of the first responders fall into phase 1B. It is a little different. Generally, first responders are always lumped together, so that's a little bit of different feeling to the response for everybody involved, but that's the way it was pushed out.
Yeah, it's such a strange time. And mm-hmm. Randy, you know, as far as on your behalf, I know with the fire department, everybody at least wants to get that part over with as soon as possible to be able to, I guess, works relatively normally, and I guess.
Yeah, you know, we were just talking about the protocols that we're operating under, you know, since we've started in March. And I know some of my guys are really, we're no different than anybody else. I mean, it's been wearing on them, the distancing and the masks and, you know, a huge part of the, a huge good part of the fire department, I'll call it the life, is the fact that you live together for 24 hours and you're like family members. You know, there's a lot of camaraderie. We've been following the guidelines very strictly. And like I said, we're one of the few departments in the state that have not had any contaminations. You know, there's been no exposures within the department itself. I mean, yeah, we've had members that have gotten it from family members outside or friends or whatever, but we've been lucky. And so, I'm no different than anybody else. I'd like to see an end to this too. So,
like I said,
it's like Groundhog Day every day.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So, Michelle, where do we kind of go from here? Because I know, how does the order go? Are seniors next, or what's kind of the order of people that would be eligible for the vaccine? I mean, because there's a lot of different people that fall under the guise of healthcare worker also.
There is, and it's probably quite a few more than I think what people think. And, you know, the vaccine is truly, you know, hopefully the critical tool that gets us to the other side of what's going on. So I understand why people are anxious and wanting to know where they fall. And we are in the middle of healthcare providers. And the state is asking that the counties move through this in a uniform manner. So we're hoping that every county in the state gets through healthcare providers, realizing that larger counties have more healthcare providers, so they are getting more vaccine, hopefully, at this time as we're moving through. So all the hospital workers have been done. So we're moving on to like your optometrist and your morticians, your people who deal face-to-face with people related to healthcare. A lot of hospice, home health workers, people who work directly with older adults. And the plan was modified. The state plan was also modified recently to include some of these living facilities where older adults may live, and we're able to do not only the staff but the residents in those facilities. So this week and next week, we're starting to look at those facilities, which weren't originally in our plans, but we're having to shift and say, okay, now we're going to have to contact these facilities and see what we can do.
But again, you're at the state's mercy on a lot of this too, as you know, the guidelines change sometimes daily, if not weekly.
We are trying to hold to the state's plan as much for our fellow counties as anybody. If you veer too much, you know, it really only hurts the counties around you, right? Because then their health departments start getting pressurized, and it's like you don't want to cause extra work for anybody else. So, they do have, you know, a reason why they have this laid out the way they do. They use CDC guidelines. They use ACIP guidelines. And it's an equity-based approach is what they're presenting it as. They're trying to get it to the people who need it the most and doing it fairly and equitably.
Michelle Gabriel, Knox County Health Department. Randy Hovind, Knox County Emergency Services Director, with us here this morning talking about the COVID-19 vaccine. Okay, so as far as the distribution to Knox County, so this, assuming, comes from somewhere federally, then the state distributes to counties. Is that kind of how it is? And then you have your responsibilities here in the order that the state wants you to do it. Is that kind of how the order?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on, actually. I'll start a little bit back from that, and Randy can comment on this at all, is everybody knows that the Unified Command is active again in the community. And I want to make sure this is brought up because it's not just the health department that's working to bring the vaccine into the community. And I want to make sure that my partners get credit where credit is due. There is actually a mass vaccination work group that operates outside of Unified Command. So Galesburg Cottage Hospital, OSF St. Mary, Galesburg Hospital's ambulance, and of course, Randy in his role as Knox County EMA, and then the health department meet, and they do a lot of planning for and making decisions over what in what order we're going to vaccinate people in these phases. So there's truly a team effort in that. So what will happen is I'll get vaccine allocated to Knox County. So the state will say, this week you can have, say, 800 doses, and I will call my partners, figure out what they need. How are we going to distribute it? What's the health department going to keep? What's going to go to the hospitals? I put the order in, and it goes through the state, and it goes directly to the CDC. And the order is reviewed through the CDC, and the vaccine is shipped directly from the federal government. That is the Moderna, which is not the ultra cold. The Pfizer moves a little bit differently, but if you're a large hospital, it doesn't move differently. They ship it directly to you.
Okay. So it doesn't, not every single bit necessarily goes through you, it will go directly to some hospitals.
Right.
Okay,
if I divided it up evenly between the three of us, fortunately, I don't have to pick up those. It gets shipped directly to the order, the entity that ordered it, along with ancillary supplies. So we get all the supplies that we need to give the vaccine with it.
Well, I know Randy wanted to be in charge of all the math for all that, too,
he did.
Right?
Well, like I said, I flunked college algebra twice, so thank God she's good at the math.
Well, at least you got to the college level of it. I still don't understand how letters got mixed in with numbers. I don't know all that. I don't envy you guys at all. I mean, you've been put in a tough spot with all this and rules and regulations that change continually. It can't be fun.
They do. And, you know, we get a lot of questions. The health department gets a lot of questions about, you know, there's a couple things. One, of course, is everybody wants to know how much vaccine has been given, how many people were vaccinated. And that's a little difficult to judge, you know, it's because some people get, you know, they get it through their work. Like we're using people who work for OSF, so they may live in a lot of different counties. And other people in the community may be receiving their vaccine in another county because they work there. So it's truly kind of a game, I guess, to guess how many people in the community have actually received it. So on a good news, the state will be putting out a table or a – I'm losing my word, what they're called. A dashboard. Thank you. A dashboard very soon is my understanding that will allow everybody to know how many people in their county have received the vaccine, and it'll be updated on a daily basis. So once that tool is out there, people will be able to see exactly what's going on in their community.
So you know how many vaccines you've brought in and have been distributed, but mm-hmm. but you don't necessarily know how many each hospital has received? Is that?
I know how many they've received, okay, but it's difficult to gauge how many right. are given because okay. there's an interesting phenomenon with the that we call it the extra dose, and it happens occasionally. But with the Pfizer especially, there were six doses. They're five dose vials, and a lot of the vials were getting six doses.
Ah.
And it's a common thing in vaccine. It doesn't mean there's anything wrong with it. It happens a lot. It just did happen quite a bit with the Pfizer vaccine. So they were able to vaccinate a lot more people with their order than what they got.
Okay.
So,
which is a good thing, though, right? Yeah.
Absolutely. It's a yeah. good thing.
And Randy, you volunteered. Any extra? Go ahead. Give it to me, right?
We actually, you know, yeah. we actually had, when we sat down as a team, mm-hmm. We developed a plan on how, you know, it's like, okay, so if you have this extra, then it's going to these people, you know, and we've done our best to adhere to that plan. Mm-hmm. Actually, I got mine on Monday. So we were this week. We talked to the guys beforehand to find out how many wanted it. You know, it was not a mandatory thing. With our people, and so they had a good idea. We talked with the volunteer fire services outside in the county because they fall into that group too. Police, all the first responders, GHOS or the Galesburg Hospital Ambulance Service, EMS, they were before us because they transport. I mean, so there was a plan set in place, and we were strictly adhering as much as we could to the mm-hmm. to the CDC and federal guidelines. Because again, like she said, we don't want to make it hard on the surrounding counties. You know, if you fall out of place and you start doing your own thing, well, then it, you know, it kind of makes it hard on you want to stick to the plan as much as possible.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. yeah. Well, and they do have some leeway if, you know, it's 5 o'clock at night and because, you know, once you pierce a vial, it's good for 6 hours. That's it. And nobody wants any waste of this vaccine, obviously. So, occasionally you probably will hear of a one-off because they will vaccinate somebody and the requirement is they just need to stay as close to the phase we're in as possible. So somebody may get a vaccine, but more than likely it's so it didn't go in the trash. So it's okay.
Well, I'm sure you guys get a ton of phone calls that are a lot of them are probably unnecessary. For like you said, a lot of the questions you get, is that information available somewhere online for people to look at, whether it's the health department's website or your Facebook page or not?
It is.
Too much and to have to be updated too often, maybe.
it's online. IDPH has their mass vaccination plan online, and they keep it updated as much as possible. And I know they have just recently updated and kind of clarified phase 1B, which is the next phase. But it is still a little bit ambiguous. It includes residents 65 and older, which is great. The CDC recommendations were 75 and older, and the state of Illinois went 65 and older, which I completely agree with. I think it's great. And it will include a lot of people in our county if you think about it. And then, of course, it includes frontline essential workers. So we all know that term, essential workers. It was thrown around, and it's a very popular term anymore. But these are frontline essential workers. So then they try to define what a frontline essential worker is, and that's where we get the questions, is am I in that group B, and when am I going to know about it? And most of it is, you know, when am I going to know? Can I just keep calling and checking in with you? And we're trying to express to people that, you know, once we move to 1B, it will be fully public. It will be full on public. It will allow us to vaccinate a lot broader population. So we'll be on the radio. We'll be in the newspaper. It'll be out there. Nobody will miss that message.
Randy, any final thoughts on this process?
I just want to say that Right now, I'm glad I don't work for the health department. They are bearing the brunt of this. And I know, even though we are a team, you know, we still do meet as unified command, and we're still covering all the bases in the community as far. And there's a lot of moving parts behind all of this, not only just the vaccination plan, but there's a lot of moving parts still behind the unified command as far as, you know, we meet every night and we talk with law enforcement to see how things are, and that, you know, is related to COVID. School district, we're always with them. How are you doing with your plan? What do you need from us? You know, it's a community effort. There is multiple partners with the, we call it, what's a feeding group with the, you know, helping out families who are in need and reaching out to the children and the elderly and those less fortunate and helping in those areas. So those things are happening constantly. I complain about it, but I have to give three situation reports to the state a day on our situation. So I'm always calling and asking up, you know, updates from Michelle and from the hospitals and from our feeding group to see where we're at to get those numbers to the state. So, I just want the community to know that we're working really hard behind the scenes, and your health department is really, really working hard to make sure all this happens. And there's a lot of calls between me and Michelle and sometimes just, you know, bouncing ideas off of each other. Sometimes just venting, you know, because it can be stressful at times, but, we're working on it and we're going to get through this as a community.
You guys can't say it. I'll say, give them a break. Yeah. Come on. Right?
Yeah.
And again, I want to remind you also, again, free testing through the health department at the Knox County Fairgrounds again this Sunday over in Knoxville from 8 to 4. And, make sure you get over there and get tested.
I would just say one more thing. I know there's a lot of bad press and media out there about the vaccination campaign nationwide. I know there's questions about how much vaccine is out there and how quickly is it being given. But I would say locally, and all I know is locally, and throughout the state, people are working very hard. So these same our hospitals have partnered with us in an amazing way to give vaccine and get it out. The health department's starting to hold clinics. We're hoping to eventually have a centralized location. But keep in mind that all of these hospital partners and my staff are doing it in addition to everything they've been doing all along. So all of the testing is still going along, all the surveillance. And it's the same way across the state, and it's the same way across the nation. So like you say, you know, give these people a little bit of break. They're doing the best they can, and they're truly, truly care about their community. Both of our hospitals were fortunate. They care about what happens in this community. So
when there are people, they want people to get the vaccine as quickly as possible as well.
Give them the benefit of the doubt and believe in them, I guess what I want to say. They're doing the right thing, and they're doing their best.
Absolutely. Well, Michelle and Randy, thank you guys for everything you're doing as well, and all your staff as well. We do appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us in.